Micah chapter 6, verse 8, page 950. Reading verses 3 through 8. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's pray.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, are you a just person? This is one of those character sermons with more instruction than inspiration, but I feel tonight that you need to hear every word I'm going to say. Are you a just person? If somebody walked up to you and asked you that question tonight, are you a just person? What would be your answer? There are several thousand people in this room tonight. I have an idea that most of you would say yes, I think I'm a fairly just person. Before we end tonight, I think many of us will realize that we're not just people. I hope you'll listen carefully. Oftentimes you've heard me make this statement. The most important thing about God is his justice. The most important thing about God is not his love. God's more interested in doing right than he is in doing anything else in the world. God's most important attribute is his justice. The most important thing or quality about God is not his mercy, though he is a merciful God. But God will not exercise mercy apart or outside the circumference of justice. Most important thing about God is not his grace, though he is a gracious God. But God will not exercise his grace outside the circumference of justice. Now I'm going to make a few general statements. First, let me explain the first time that justice is really illustrated in the Bible. Man had sinned. God had created Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden. Listen carefully. He told them that if they ate the forbidden fruit, they would die. Now, death is separation from God. And the immediate demonstration or example of that death was separation from God. God had said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God had said, the wages of sin is death. God had said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Adam and Eve listened to the evil one, just like many of you are doing tonight. And one of the hardest things we need to understand is why people don't have enough sense to watch how evil turns out and how sin turns out. Last Wednesday afternoon, Brother Eddie Lapina and I went to the Lake County Jail. We saw a young man who grew up in our church from childhood behind bars. We had to talk to him through a bulletproof window by telephone. We could see him through the window, talk to him by telephone. The last time I saw that young man was in my office when he was rebellious He's not that way now. He reads his Bible. He's gotten right with God. And I think when he gets out of prison, if he goes to prison, it looks like he will serve God. I mentioned this young man in a sermon recently. Now, it looks like to me, by the way, what was the trail he went down? Disobedient to parents. Disobedience at school. Rock music. Bad literature. Rebellion against authority. Not taking the advice of his preacher. Now, it looks like to me that anybody's got good sense could look behind the bars at Lake County Jail and realize you're on that road and you ought to get off that road. It's hard for me to understand why you young people haven't got enough sense to learn from the previous generation. We don't go back in every generation and start with the Model T Ford. We take the improvements that the automobile industry has made and enjoy them. We don't go back every generation of the ice box where you put ice. Iceman came by and you put some ice up in the top of a ice box and it dripped down the bottom. You had to have a little pan down below it for the drippings. And we don't go back every generation. We enjoy the benefits of trusting and the improvements of the previous generation. We don't go back every generation to the kerosene lamp. We enjoy the improvements in the electricity field. We don't go back to the previous generation concerning to the wood stove. Well, why have we got enough sense if we had learned from the previous generation about improvement of cars, improvement of houses, improvement of conveniences? Why have we got enough sense to learn from the previous generation about how sin turns out? Adam and Eve had sinned. Now, because they had sinned, the Bible says in Genesis 3:24 that they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God placed cherubims at the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. And that flaming sword, the Bible says, turned every way. And the reason God says those cherubims were there and that flaming sword was there was to keep man from getting back to the tree of life. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Man cannot eat the tree of life until justice is satisfied. And there must be a payment for man's sin. So the cross of Calvary was God making that payment for man. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, as I've often said, he first died for God and not for man. He died so God could take you back. You know why? You know why these people that say you get saved because you get baptized are going to go to hell? I said it, didn't I? You know why? Because baptism doesn't satisfy the justice of God. You know why these folks that say you go to heaven, you're saved because you live a good life, are going to hell? It's because living a good life doesn't satisfy the justice of God. The Bible doesn't say the wages of sin is a good life. Bible doesn't say wages of sin is a wet body. Bible doesn't say the wages of sin is the holy sacraments. Bible doesn't say the wages of sin is confirmation. Bible doesn't say the wages of sin is a baby dedication. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the penalty must be paid before you can get back to God. So God placed at the Garden of Eden, at the gate of the Garden of Eden, cherubims with a flaming sword going around and around every direction. Why? Because God is just. Listen, God will send the whole world to hell before God will not be just. And that's why the only way you can be saved is by grace through faith. Because faith is the only thing that pleases God, and it's faith in God's payment for your sin, making the scales balanced and satisfying the holiness and the justice of an almighty God. I say, the most important thing about God is His justice. Now, you listen to me. Then if you are going to be like God, then the most important thing in your life, likewise, must be justice. Next statement. God's forgiveness is always within His justice. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice now, he is faithful and just. God won't forgive your sins apart from justice. It's the blood of Christ that satisfies the justice of God, Mr. MacArthur notwithstanding. It's the blood of Christ that satisfies the justice of God, and even God's forgiveness must be a just forgiveness. God's not some wishy-washy, mealy-mouth, easy-going God that says, I love you, so do what you want to, and I'll forgive you. That's not God. God is a God of justice. And God said, I cannot forgive you apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. That's God's nature, and the most important thing about God. Isaiah chapter 59, there's an amazing verse. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. You see, truth is what brings about justice. So if you don't preach the truth, then justice cannot be preached and God cannot be satisfied. In Acts 3:14, 7:52, and 22:14, God is called the Just One. Now, I try to be just, but I'm human, so I do not always see justice right. And you are human, though you may try to be just, so you don't always see justice right, but God is the Just One. In Philippians 4, verse 8, we're commanded to think about justice. And the first thing it says in Micah 6, 8, for the quotes read a while ago, the first thing that God requires is justice. It says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to, and there are three things here, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. What's the first thing God requires? To quit smoking? No, no. What's the first thing God requires? Quit drinking? No, no. What's the first thing God requires? Start tithing. Well, yes, in a sense, because tithing is a part of justice. But I'm saying the first thing that God requires of us, what doth the Lord require of thee? Micah 6:8. Do justly, and then love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. Now listen carefully to this. You are as good a Christian as you are just. You are not as good a Christian as how many souls you win. You're not a good Christian because of how much time you pray. You are as good a Christian as you are just. And I'll get down after a while to what justice is all about. You see, I go soul winning because I want to be just. If Jesus died for me, the least I can do is be just and tell about it. So it is justice that propels me to go soul winning. It is justice that should propel you to being a good son or a good daughter. It is justice that compels you to take care of your aged parents. It is justice that compels you to serve God. It is justice that compels you to stay in college. Let me stop there for a second. People have invested in you. Now you owe them something because of that investment. You don't owe them to be a quitter. You don't owe them to turn back. You said to the house, what is in college, what is a quitter? It's one that's not in college anymore, and he was. Oh, you said to the house, I'm going home, but I'm not a quitter. You liar, you're a liar, what you are. Everybody's got a reason to quit. And it's never quitting for you, but it's quitting as far as God's concerned. Now, listen, somebody has invested in you, and you owe it to them to be a success, and you owe it to them to finish. And you owe it to them to stay. And you owe it to them not to turn back. That's justice. You are as good a Christian as you are just. What is justice? It's paying your debts. Paying your debts. What is justice? It's working for your income. What is justice? It's not cheating for a grade. H.A. Ironside, years ago, was in Dallas, Texas. He was pastor of Moody Church at the time. And Dr. John Rice saw him while he was there and said, Dr. Ironside, where are you preaching in Dallas? And Dr. Ironside said, over here at a church attended by all black people. And Dr. Rice said, why did you come? And Dr. Ironside said, I came to pay my debt to my black friends. I came to pay my debt
to my black friends, he said, why should you honor your mother? You owe a debt. Why do I honor Dr. John Rice? Because I owe Dr. John Rice a debt. Why do you hear me mention him over and over again? I owe him a debt. And by the way, I pay my debts. I pay my debts as far as money is concerned. I pay my debts. I pay my debts as far as what people have done for me is concerned. I pay my debts. Why is it I magnify my old pastor, Brother Sizemore, so much? I owe him a debt, and I want to be just. Why do I work hard? I owe debts to those who have invested in me, and I want to be just. Why do I help take care of my sister some? Every month of this world, a sizable check, well, it's over $1.98, goes to my sister for me. The same money I used to give my mother every month, I give my sister now. Now, why do I honor my sister? And why do I help take care of her in her last few days of life? I owe her a debt. When I was a boy 9 or 10 years of age, no talking. We listen here. If you want to talk to your wife or girlfriend, do it after church. We listen here. I owe her a debt. When I was a boy, 9, 10 years of age, she was 16, 17. She had just graduated from high school. My daddy didn't have a job. My dad was an alcoholic. He had no job. My sister went to work, $10 a week. Did you hear me? $10 a week. That's 5.5 days. Pollock Paper Company. Went to work. She made $10 a week. 5.5 days. Every Saturday she got off work. By the way, it wasn't long till she got married and left the house. One of the greatest days of my life. But wait a minute. Every Saturday afternoon, my sister brought me a new baseball. Every Saturday afternoon. Now wait a minute. $10 a week's not much money. Every week when she came home from work, she brought me a new baseball. I recall when I wanted a baseball glove, cost 59 cents. My mother tried to get my daddy to buy it for me. He wouldn't do it. My sister bought it for me. Now, 59 cents is a lot of money when you make $10 a week. She bought me the glove. When I was a kid, every baseball bat I ever owned, my sister bought me. My first bicycle, my sister bought me. Western Flyer bicycle. Beautiful thing. I can still see it. Had a light right here, a horn right here, air conditioned, power steering and power brakes, and stereo and all of it. She bought my first bicycle. That, listen. You say, why do you take care of your sister? Because all those baseballs she bought me. Those most expensive baseballs ever bought. Why, I paid tens of thousands of dollars for those stupid baseballs. I could have bought the franchise for the Chicago White Sox team with the money I've paid her back for buying me those dumb baseballs. That bicycle's cost me $35,614.93. Give or take a little bit. Now, I'm simply saying justice is people who do what they're supposed to do and balance the scales for what others have done for them. Now, I want to show you some scriptures right quickly, and it's going to take a little while. We're going to read several scriptures. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 3. All these scriptures are in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 3. Look at verse number 33. Proverbs chapter 3. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Proverbs. Chapter 3, verse 33. Read that out loud, please. Ready? The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now look at me. What does it say? It says God blesses the house of the just. God gives blessings to honest people. God gives special blessings to debt-paying people. God gives special blessings to folks that work and don't loaf on the job. God gives special blessings. All right, now I want you to know something else that God gives. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more on the perfect day. The path of the just, what's he saying? God says, I reveal my will to just people. You know why some of you Howells Anderson College graduates can't get a church? You owe debts. You know why you're floundering about the will of God? You're not honest. You're crooked. You haven't paid the hospital bill. Before you leave this place, you ought to pay for your baby. You wonder why God doesn't let you know His will? Because you're not just. The Bible says that God shines His light upon the path of the just. All right? Look, if you would please, at chapter 9 of Proverbs. Chapter number 9 of Proverbs. Look at verse number 9. Read it out loud, please. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. What does it say? It says not only does God give blesses a just man and reveals His will to a just man, but a just man learns easier. What it says? A just man can learn better. If you're just, you could make an A instead of a C. If you're just, God gives the ability to folks who are just, and which is basically honest and right, upright, to learn. Look at chapter 10 and verse number 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just. Look at verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, or blessed. Look at me. What does it mean? It means that God not only blesses the just and reveals His will to the just, and the just learns easier, but the Bible says the just gets special blessings from God, and his memories are happier and more pleasant. Look, if you would please, at chapter number 10 and verse number 20. Read it out loud. Ready? The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Look at me. What does God say? He says the just can make better speeches. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. You want to be a better preacher? Be honest. You want to be more eloquent? Eloquent, be just. God says you can speak better if you're just. Look at verse number 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. God gives wisdom to the just. Look at chapter 11 and verse 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. What does it mean? It means God delivers the just. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 13. Read it out loud, please. Chapter 12, verse 13. Ready? The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Hey, did you get all those promises? Listen to me. Look right here. God said, if you're just, He'll bless you. God said, if you're just, He'll reveal His will to you. God said, if you're just, you can learn easier. God said, if you're just, you'll have more blessings. God said, if you're just, you'll be happy. God said, if you're just, you'll be a better speaker. God said, if you're just, you'll have wisdom. God said, if you're just, you'll be delivered. God said, if you're just, you can get help in trouble. Now listen, all over this nation tonight, a bunch of quacks are teaching a bunch of success seminars and writing a bunch of stupid success books and writing and making a bunch of stupid success tapes. And America's fallen hook, line, and sinker for that junk. When God said, if you want to be blessed, you be just. If you want to have to know His will, you be just. If you want to learn, you be just. If you want blessings, you be just. You want happy, you be just. You want to be a better speaker, you be just. You want to have wisdom, you be just. You want deliverance, you be just. If you want help in trouble, you be just. Wow, what promises God has given us. Now the question is, how can I get these things? Everybody in this room wants this list right here. But we don't have enough sense to know how to get them. Be just. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm sure I would not be behind this pulpit tonight if I were not sincerely and have sincerely in my ministry tried to be a just man. No preacher has ever been attacked as much as I've been attacked. They're constantly trying to get our church members all over this area. It's amazing. They criticize us and say we're not very, very deep. Our people are shallow. Well, then why do they want our church members so badly? And they're constantly trying to hurt me and hurt our ministry nationally. But in spite of that, I keep getting blessed. I keep getting up when I'm knocked down. The greatest church in the world has rallied behind me. I'm the happiest man in America. Preachers all over America have rallied around me. The Bible has been open to me. Why is that? God says why. I've tried to be just. I've tried to be just. You folks tonight that sit here and you got a color television set at home. And listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me, young people. I'm preaching to you. You got a color television set at home. And yet you owe some debts. Go sell the color television set and pay your debts. You're driving a 1990 car around. And you owe debts you haven't paid in years. Oh, you pay the ones. You pay your utilities, they'll cut those off. You pay what you have to pay to keep your own comfort. But you don't pay what you have to pay to keep your own conscience. You don't have to pay the doctor, so forget him. But God says, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to learn. You're not going to have wisdom. You're not going to have knowledge. You're not going to be blessed. You're not going to have blessings unless you're just. Now let's check your justice for a few minutes. I'm going to give you a little justice test. Follow me carefully. Are you a just person? Don't miss it. Number one, does injustice to another bother you as much as injustice to you? Are you listening? Then you're not just. I said, does injustice to another bother you as much as injustice to you? Number two, ask yourself this. Is it your being hurt or justice being hurt that bothers you? Number three, I love this one. Does another child's being mistreated in the Little League bother you as much as your own child being mistreated? Sit still. See, justice is not what you're after. You're after you're being treated right. It is not justice that you want. It is your justice that you want. But I'm talking about plain old justice. Question number four. I bet you'd let them off the number three. Is it injustice that bothers you or injustice to you that bothers you? Question number five. Is it injustice to you? Is it injustice or you and yours being mistreated that bothers you? Six, are you paying back to those who have made you and helped you? Seven, are you as angry at yourself when you do an injustice as you are at someone else when they do you an injustice? Hey, you don't know this, but this is good preaching. This is the nearest thing to the heart of God Almighty. And God's more concerned about this than He is your crying during a sermon. And God's more concerned about this than He is your testimony when you stand up to testify. God's concerned about you being honest. God's concerned about you being fair. God's concerned about you being just. God's concerned about how hard you work. God's concerned about you not cheating. God's concerned about justice. That is the most important quality to God. And you are as good a Christian as you are just. Number eight. Is it mistreatment or being mistreated that bothers you? Number nine, does any injustice hurt you as much as injustice against you? Number 10, I love this one. Does it hurt you when the umpire makes a bad call in your favor? Son, sit up down here. Hey, son. Yeah, wake up. We're having church here. It's not nap time. It's preaching time. When it's preaching time, it's hearing time. Now listen to me. I said, does it hurt you when the umpire makes a bad call in your favor? Can you imagine Mike Ditka running out on the field? Referee, our boy did not catch that pass. Referee, our boy did not score that touchdown. He was that far away. Now you listen to me. There's nothing that shows the depravity of the human race as much as our wrong attitude toward justice. When you get to a place to where just injustice bothers you, no matter who commits it, whether it's you, when you get to a place where you are as upset over your injustice as somebody else's injustice, and it's not this inconvenience that it bothers you or mistreatment of you that bothers you, but it's seeing something that's under. And you've heard me tell this. I was in I was somewhere. I'm always somewhere. I was in Milford, Ohio, preaching at the First Baptist Church there. I stayed at the Sheraton Inn. I think it's Sheraton. If it wasn't, it was something else. It was either the Sheraton or the Hilton. Anyway, I think it's Sheraton. I walked in. I checked in. They gave me the key to my room. I was on the fifth floor. If you've heard this sermon, it was on the sixth floor before. They moved me down the floor. But I was on the fifth floor, I'm pretty sure. I went up on the elevator, and the elevator had two or three elevators here, and they faced a wall over here. On the wall, there was a picture, a painting. That painting was like that. Cattywampus. You freshmen know what that means. It's a Greek word. You'll get that later on. But it was not straight. Oh, that bothers me to death. Hey, that's what justice is. Justice is perfect balance. And justice is when you're upset when something is not perfectly balanced. I straightened the picture, painting, straightened it. Went to my room. Decided to go down and get me a bite to eat. I hadn't eaten in 45 minutes. I was starving. I decided to go down and get me a bite to eat. Went back to the elevator. The picture done that way again. I straightened it. Went down and got me more than one bite to eat. And went back upstairs. Got off the elevator. Picture was crooked again. I straightened it. Time to go to preach. Got a Bible. Went down the elevator. Picture painting was crooked again. I straightened it. After the service, came back to my room. Got on the elevator. Went up to the fifth floor. Painting was crooked again. I straightened it. Went to bed. Couldn't sleep. Is it or not? Is it crooked or not? Hour later, I got up, put my pants on, over my pajamas, put a shirt on my pajama tops, went down, checked that picture. It's crooked. I went down to the desk, the front desk, barefooted, shirt and pants on, over pajamas. Clerk said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "You got a hammer?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You have nails?" She said, "Yes." "Why?" I said, "I got to straighten the picture up there on the fifth floor." She said, "Why?" I said, "I can't sleep." She said, "Mister, it's not your job to straighten the pictures." I said, "Okay, then you get somebody to straighten it." She said, "Nobody's on duty." I said, "Give me a hammer." I went up there to the fifth floor, got me a hammer and nail, straightened that picture, drove that nail in just right, had a good night's sleep. Now I'm asking a question. When somebody else is mistreated, does it bother you like me, like that picture bothered me? You see, the symbol of justice is the scale. Our court system, the symbol of our court system is the scale. All right? Whenever on one side you have the transgression, on the other side you have the punishment, is it balanced? Is it balanced? To me, it's like a shovel scraping against concrete. It affects me that way. Ask that man right there, the one sleeping. Ask him, which one sleeping? You ask Dr. Jorgensen or Dr. Evans. You ask them, what's the statement Brother Howes makes the most at our meeting, our committee meetings, for these 19 years. I promise you, Dr. Jorgensen will say, the thing he makes the most is we've got to be just. We've got to be fair. Something about injustice that grinds me. We had a meeting I was not here on a Sunday morning for our meeting. So we had a meeting on a Sunday night. And some students were expelled. And we voted to expel those students on a Sunday night. And I went home. Called Dr. Jorgensen on the phone. Said, "Doc, let's cancel the decisions we made tonight." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I was tired. I'd worked hard all day. It was a Sunday night, late Sunday night. I don't think that our minds were qualified to make decisions that will affect the lives and futures and entire destinations of these young people. Let's wait till we're more rested. Why? Because Brother Howes is concerned about justice. Brother Howes is concerned about the scale always being balanced. And I hate anything that's unjust. I hadn't thought about this till recently for years. I used to be in college years ago. 75 or 30 years ago, I was in college. We had a teacher in our college who taught history named Miss Miller. Miss Miller. She was a record-breaking teacher, really was. Holds all records for history teaching as being the most boring and the worst teacher ever lived. I was out of the Army. I was older than most of the students. I wasn't old. I was about 21, but it was my first year in school, and most of the kids were just 17, 18 years old. She gave the first test. 43 students took the test. 37 failed it. I made a C. I was one of the six. Now, what you'd have said was, thank God I passed it. That didn't satisfy me. That lady had been unjust. Wasn't fair. I raised my hand. Don't you ever do this, college students. I'll kick you all the way back home without bouncing one time. I mean, it'll be a nonstop flight. But I stood and I said, Miss Miller, could I say a word? She said, yes. I said, Miss Miller, it ever dawned on you that the grade a student makes on the test not only reflects the ability of the student to learn, but the ability of the teacher to teach? That's preaching, ain't it? All you lazy rascals hollering, amen, amen. Now, what I said was right, but I shouldn't have said it. I was kicked out nonstop all the way back home. No, I wasn't, but it didn't please her a great deal. I mean, she'd a lot rather have eaten a banana split than for me to have told her that. But wait a minute. What bothered me was unjust. Didn't affect me at all. I passed the test. Only six passed it. I could have bragged that I was one of the six out of the 43. But that's not right. Injustice is what bothered me. You know, the American justice system bothers me. For example, I'm going to get a few scraps off my mouth. I don't believe that white-collar crimes ought to be punished by penitentiary. The purpose of penitentiary in the first place was for the safety of the public. So if a man committed a crime that was unsafe to the public, if he was an armed robber, if he was a rapist, what do? We take him out of public. But for a man like Jim Baker to be in prison, and again, I haven't got one drop of charismatic blood in me, and I'm not a fan of Jim Baker, but I'm a fan of justice. And for a man as brilliant as Jim Baker is to be locked up behind a cell, what they ought to do is let him out of jail and give him a sentence of serving public service. The guy's brilliant. The guy could do something outside of prison. That bothers me. There's hardly never a 24-hour period. I don't think about the guy. I mean, and I never did care for the fella. I love Tammy Faye, but I've never cared for Jim. I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. But that man could do great service for the government, for the country. What have they got? They've got a brilliant mind locked up in a cell. They have brilliant potential locked up in a cell. He's no danger to the public. He's not going to shoot anybody, rape anybody, kill anybody, salt anybody. That bothers me. I'm saying there, if the people of this nation would get offended about injustice instead of mistreatment to you, the Bible says, for example, in Titus 1:8, that a pastor is supposed to be just. That's why you guys that go through school and don't sign in and sign out, you won't get my recommendation for a church someday, because you don't qualify. You're not just. That's why you folks that leave this area with debts all behind you, you won't get my recommendation for a church someday. Just the other day, one of our graduates applied for the mission field, a mission board. And they wrote me and they asked me, said, give us a reference for you. This graduate of your college wants to go to the mission field. I wrote back and said, he's dishonest. They turned him down. I'm glad they did. Because he's not qualified to be a pastor if he's not just. The lady sitting back here works at my dentist office. I was stunned a few years ago. I went to my dentist. I hate the dentist. I hate him with a passion. I hate the world, the flesh, and the dentist. I hate the dentist. But I don't hate the man. I just hate what he does to me. First place, he gives me bad news. The dentist is sitting back here having a lot of fun right now. But he gives me bad news. He tells me I got holes in my teeth. You'll hear what the psychiatrist says. Some of you caught that. But I was paying my dental bill a few years ago. And I noticed it said 50% there. And I said, what does that mean? It's on my record there. It said 1/2 or 50% or something. And I said, what does that mean? And the little secretary there, she said, the nurse, she said, that means that your dentist only charges you 1/2 price. And I said, why? She said, it's a clergy discount. I said, don't want it. I'll pay my way, thank you. I said, if you're going to give somebody a discount, you give one of our college students a discount. You give one of these fellows that's going to college by morning and working in the afternoon and night and wife never sees him, you give them a discount. Don't you give me a discount. I'll pay my way. Forgive me for this, but I won't take a senior citizen discount. Of course, I never have it offered because I look so young. thank you, but I'll pay my way. Thank you. I'm not going to get this much service and pay that much bill. And listen, the first one of you Hal Zenderson preacher boys that goes up and says, could I have a ministerial discount? I hope you get AIDS. And you're so sissy, you probably will. America needs revival of honesty, integrity, character, debt paying, work. Now the question comes, how do you become just? Number one, abide by what your enemy says is fair. See what I said? Abide by what your enemy says is fair. Got a letter a few months ago. Brother Depper knows this story. Where's Brother Depper? Somebody check and see why Brother Depper isn't here, would you? Brother Depper is our church owns a cemetery and a mausoleum. He operates it. Got a letter. Somebody's a member of this church 20 years ago. Maybe a little more than 20 years ago. They bought a cemetery lot. They moved to a distant state. Wrote and said, I want my money back from a cemetery lot. But on the contract there, it says that we don't buy them back. It's on the contract. It's on any contract. You buy a cemetery lot, and they wrote back and said, you're dishonest. And I wrote back in so many words, said, no, I'm not dishonest. I said, it was on the contract, and we don't owe it to you. Then the guys, this is a pastor. His mother got involved. He called mommy. She wrote me. And she got a lawyer. And he wrote me. I mean, I had a bunch of pen pals out of this one story. Now, what to do? I wrote back and I said, we don't owe you this money.
It is not just that we pay you this money, but I'm giving it to you. And I gave it to him. No, but I gave him the money. Why? Because I was abiding by what he said was just. The Bible says, agree with thine adversary. Years ago, I was preaching on the West Coast. Dr. John Rice and I were together. Dr. Rice reading the newspaper at Howard Johnson's restaurant one morning at breakfast. He said, read this. He handed it to me, and it said something about an Assembly of God preacher started a church for homosexuals. I've preached about that, and I mentioned the Assembly of God preacher. The paper said that. And then the sermon I preached was later on put in a book. I got a letter from the national headquarters of the Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri, their national leader. He said, we've read what you said about an Assembly of God preacher. He said, we consider that an attack on the Assembly of God. He said, you'll be hearing from our lawyer. I'm sorry to say this, but lawyers don't scare me any more than anybody else does. So the lawyer wrote me. I called long distance to this national executive secretary of the Assembly of God movement, and I told him, I said, now look, if you want anything I've got, you can have it. You have to go to court with me. I said, the only thing I've got in this world of value is my house. I have some equity in my house. Now, if you want my house, if you want to get me back so you break me, you can break me, ask me, I'll deed the house to you today. My house doesn't mean that much to me. If my house means more to you than it does to me, you take it. You can have it. I'm saying, number two, keep company with just people. Hey, listen to me. High school students, don't go around with the people that cheat on tests. Don't run around the demerit crowd. College students, don't run around with the folks that don't work. Hey, work scholarship young ladies, don't hang around those that loaf and don't work when the boss is not looking. Run around with just people. Number three, let God take care of vengeance. It's his responsibility and his area. And number four, if in doubt, take the lenient route. Now let's put the scales up here quickly and I'll be through. Salary, work. Salary, work. Does the scale balance out? But you say, Brother Hiles, he doesn't pay me much. I think he should pay me twice as much, so I loaf half the time. But the agreement when you went to work was for a certain salary. So get to work. Just people don't loaf on the job. Just people don't have to be supervised. Just work scholarship, young ladies, don't have to be supervised. Grades earn. Grades earn. Some of you students, high schools, your report card ought to be given to the girl that sits beside you. It's her grades, you dirty crook. I said, God loves justice. And if you have a grade that you didn't earn, you're not just. And all these promises that we read a while ago are not for you. Merchandise, payment. Merchandise, payment. Merchandise, payment. You pay for what you buy. Most of you don't have enough character to have credit cards, so throw them away. You pay for what you buy. Justice, transgression, punishment. Transgression, punishment. Justice, blessings, gratitude. Blessings, gratitude. Justice, Calvary, service. Calvary, service. You owe a debt to your Savior. Just people pay that debt. You know why I work day and night? I owe a debt. I owe a debt to somebody who suffered hell in my place.
I owe a debt. I pay my debts. Ask a question. Is your tithe paid up? Is your tithe paid up? Then all these promises are not for you. God blessing you, revealing His will, easier to learn, His blessings, happiness, better speaker, wisdom, deliverance, help in trouble, they're not for you, they're for just people. How about your debts? I have one life to live. I cannot determine my reputation. I can't do that. One person can destroy most any other person he wants to destroy as far as reputation is concerned. That woman right there could get it in for that man right there. Or that man right there could get it in for that woman right there. And either could destroy the other's reputation in a week. And the tragedy is, most of the humanity would believe it. And the scandal sheet called the Hammond Times would put it in the front page. Because they're like buzzards circling the field trying to find something that stinks. But I can do something about my character. And God does not bless reputation. God did not say, I promise blessings upon those of a good reputation, but upon those that are just. I cannot determine my reputation. I cannot shut the mouths of those that would destroy me, nor can you. But there's one thing I can do they can't stop. I can get God's blessings. I can know God's will. I can have God's wisdom. I can have extra knowledge. I can have happiness. And I can be delivered from trouble if I am just. The sermon is, are you a just person? Are you a just person? You answer it. Because to that extent, whatever your answer is determines what kind of Christian you are. Every week of my life, I get letters. By the dozens, and always a couple dozen, from people who are upset. I've been mistreated. Or my son's been mistreated. Or my wife's been mistreated. Or my husband's been mistreated. Why don't you write me a letter sometime that somebody you don't know has been mistreated? Or why don't you write me a letter sometime that you've mistreated somebody? You see, justice is not what you're concerned about. You and yours getting justice is what you're concerned about. And that in itself is unjust. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Let's take care of some balancing some scales at the altar. The choir sings. How do you become just? Number one, abide by what your enemy says is fair. See what I said? Abide by what your enemy says is fair. Got a letter a few months ago. Brother Depper knows this story. Where's Brother Depper? Somebody check and see why Brother Depper isn't here, would you? Brother Depper's our church owns a cemetery and a mausoleum. He operates it. Got a letter. Somebody's a member of this church 20 years ago. Maybe a little more than 20 years ago. They bought a cemetery lot. They moved to a distant state. Wrote and said, I want my money back from a cemetery lot. But on the contract there, it says that we don't buy them back. It's on the contract. It's on any contract you buy a cemetery lot. And they wrote back and said, you're dishonest. And I wrote back in so many words, said, no, I'm not dishonest. I said, it was on the contract, and we don't owe it to you. Then this is a pastor. His mother got involved. He called Mommy. She wrote me. And she got a lawyer. And he wrote me. I mean, I had a bunch of pen pals out of this one story. Now, what to do?
I wrote back and I said, we don't owe you this money. It is not just that we pay you this money, but I'm giving it to you. And I gave it to it. No, but I gave him the money. Why? Because I was abiding by what he said was just. The Bible says, agree with thine adversary.